Don't plan on it tonight. All right. Amen. I like having fun. Amen. Hey, of all the folks that ought to have a good time, I ought to be people of God. Amen. Hey, I just want to kind of, you take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3, if you would. Acts chapter 3. I want you tonight, and I know that we intend to, listen to the preaching. But a lot of times we don't. I'm just being honest with you. I've been preaching a long time. And I'm telling you, I have preached many times that I wondered, man, you think they was listening or not? Because, hello, did I do something wrong? Do I need to move this? Brother Brian does that. I watched him on TV one time. Am I on TV? Okay. But I'm serious. We come to church. We sing the songs. We pray. The offering plate's passed. We give. And preaching time comes, and everybody just kind of settles in, but then sometimes you just shut down. And I don't want you to do that tonight. Please, I'm begging you to listen. I got a message from God that we need to hear. Listen to me just for a little bit. Our nation's in trouble. I mean, we're in trouble. We've got a government that we cannot trust anymore. And you may disagree with me, but I'm telling you, I don't trust our government like I used to. And I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I'd care less. I'm not a politician. I'm telling you, they're all crooked as a dog's hind leg. Amen. And we've got a nation that's headed away from God. I mean, at one time, we may have been able to claim that we was a Christian nation and a godly nation. Our present president said it plainly, we are not a Christian nation, and he was right. And it's sad. And I want to try to give us some help, because I'm telling you, it's our fault. It's the Christian's fault. It's Christian's fault. It's my fault. I'm one of the men of God that will stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And I'm telling you, one of the major problems in our nation today is in the pulpit. Now, I'm a fundamental Baptist on purpose. I did that by conviction. I'm not sorry for it. I stand firmly on what I believe, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm when it comes to denominational titles, you take that for what it's worth, but I believe if we're going to have revival, it's going to depend upon fundamental independent Baptists. I believe that. The Methodists aren't going to give us revival. Not with the way they're preaching. Presbyterians aren't going to do it. Lutherans aren't going to do it. There's other Baptist groups that are compromising every time you turn around. And let's be honest, there's a bunch of independent Baptists that are compromising. But I'm convinced with all my heart, if we're going to have revival, folks, which we need desperately, it's going to be because there's a group of fundamental Baptists that will begin to believe this book and practice this book. And that believes that God will send revival and that He'll turn this nation around. Hey, He's done it before. This is not the first time we've been in trouble as a nation. But we need God desperately. And it's going to take you and me to have revival. Acts chapter 3, if you would, let's stand in honor of reading God's word. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I believe this will probably be a very familiar passage to most of you. If you have a living Bible, it'll say, now, Peter and John, by the way, King James, the only living Bible, amen? Y'all breathe easy. I ain't changed. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Did you hear your preacher gasp right then? He said, oh my. Being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. That's a statement right there. When's the last time you told somebody, go ahead and watch my life? You can look on me. I live up to what I'm preaching. Amen or not? He said, look on us. And look what he said. And he gave heed unto them. Isn't that what we need the lost world to do? To give heed to us? We need them to listen. That's all he's saying there. He said, this fellow's lame. They're walking into the temple. He's sitting there begging. The guy says, look on us. The fellow looked. Gave heed to what they're saying. Now, let's go on. Expecting to receive something of them. That's where I'm going to preach tonight. Hey, Christian. Won't you get off your high horse and quit acting like you don't owe the world something? You do owe them something. And they have the right to expect something from you. They have that right. Hey, we're the one that said I'm saved, amen or not?
Yes, sir.
That's right. We said it. We made it public, amen. If you hadn't done that, at the invitation tonight, you ought to come down and make it public. I'm saved. You ought to walk through the baptismal waters to let folks know who you identified with. Amen? You ought to be obedient and all that. The world has a right to expect something of us. He looks at Peter and John here expecting to receive something of them. Let's pray. Father, I've got to have you. Lord, please, I need you tonight. I'm nothing. I am nothing. But God, if you'd use me once again, I'd thank you. I'll do my best to preach the message you've laid on my heart tonight. God, I'm asking you, please, to arrest the people's attention tonight. God, get them focused in on the message. Lord, help us tonight, every one of us, to determine to be changed by the message. It's the message you've laid on my heart. I ask you, Lord, to give me clarity of thought and of mind. Lord, help me to set all the things of this world to the side, and Lord, that you'd just direct my thoughts tonight. Lord, help the folks. God, I know there's always distractions. Lord, I pray that folks would be determined to listen. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We were at a sword conference just, about a week and a half ago, and I saw one of them big-name preachers, Brother Brian, that he's sitting up front there on front pew, and another preacher's up there preaching. He's doing this. And then he got in the pulpit and told everybody he was tweeting while the preacher was preaching. Tweeting. Now, Miss Debbie does all that Facebook stuff. I don't even know what tweeting is. But I know I ain't supposed to be doing it during church. I can't do it. Amen. Hey. And you was talking about me abusing you. Y'all see the truth now, amen? I am a tweet guy. But I see that as a problem. I really do. I see that as a problem. If the man of God's going to sit on the front pew and play with his phone, how come everybody else can't? I know, honest now, I didn't even have a phone for years. I didn't need one, didn't have one, and was forced into getting one. I was going out to Nevada for Brother Wilkins, and he said, you got to have a phone, and so he made me get one. But I left it in the truck tonight. I don't want it to bother me. If you got yours on right now, please shut it off. Just take it. Them folks will be there when you get back. Let me go on. Man, there's a world out there that is headed for hell. And let's be honest, every one of us was there. We all got a past and a background. Some of you know my testimony, you know my life. I was one of them fellas that grew up in the 60s and 70s. My hair's about the length of Miss Irene's back there. And I wore it in a ponytail and rode me a motorcycle, a Triumph Bonneville, up and down the streets of Houston, and doing ungodly and vile things. Thank God that God loved me. Thank God that He was long-suffering, amen? Thank God that after all the mocking, all I think probably some most wicked things I ever did, tell my parents I hate them. You kids, listen to me. You ever do something like that, God ought to strike you dead right there. Vile, wicked. Yet God loved me, saved me. And I'm telling you tonight, there's a bunch of folks out there just like us. They're just ignorant. They do not know. And far too often, we as Christians look down old pious Pharisaical nose because they got either too many tattoos, or the hair's not right, or they stink, or maybe they're above us in society. Maybe it's some doctor or lawyer, and we feel intimidated by them. They're just people. And they have a right to expect something from us. Hold your place. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. I want to. Some of the scripture tonight is going to be real familiar. Some of it may be first time you ever saw it in the particular light that I'll be preaching it in. Look down Matthew 10, verse 7. Verse 7 and 8. And as ye go, preach. Hey, ladies, in this sense, it'd be all right for you to do this too. It says, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. This part I won't get to. Freely ye have received, freely give. Let's be honest tonight. We ain't nothing. We are all just sinners saved by grace. And sometimes we hear that and we just kind of think of it as some kind of cliche statement. But I want you to think on that tonight. Where you came from and who you are. What was it that God did to get you saved? Because if you're saved tonight, it was God's mercy and His grace that He reached down to you. You did not reach up to Him. He's the one that drew you through the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I love you. As unlovely as you are, I love you. I want you. I want you. Man, thank God. We ought to just shout every once in a while because of that. I mean, it wouldn't hurt us just to get excited every once in a while. Huh? I mean, don't you think the Lord and the salvation He's given us worthy of us just shouting every once in a while? And I mean, even when the preacher ain't hitting a home run, amen? Just jump up and shout anyway. Hallelujah! I'm saved! Preach it again, amen? Huh? And there's some, let's be honest, there's times we get up and man, we preach and everybody's just going, that's right, preacher. I watch you on TV. Lord, help me now. Let me just give us a few things by way of introduction, then I'll get to the message. First, Peter told him. He and John, they're walking into the house of God. They're going to pray. We ought to stop and just preach right there a little while. I'm telling you, we don't pray like we ought to. Let's just be real honest. If we was to have a show of hands tonight of how many of us felt like our prayer life was lacking, I'd just about bind you every hand that'd go up. And shame on us for that. We allow everything in the world to get in the way. I'm guilty. I really am. And Miss Debbie and I get up every morning, Monday through Friday, get up 3:30 in the morning, start our day. I'll be honest, that's hard to do. Miss Debbie is not as young as she used to be. And I better move on. But they're going down to the house of God to spend some time praying. And they walk in, and there's that fella standing on the corner with his sign saying, God bless you. Huh? You've seen him? And he's asking for some money. He thinks that's what solve all his problems, just give me some more money. Peter, with John, said, look on us. Now, folks, we're saved tonight. Amen. If you're saved, raise your hand, wave it at me. Let's see. All right, I look around. All right. We're saved. We ought to have a life that we can tell them, watch me. But too many times, it's instead of having a life that we're saying, look on us, we're coming down here at the end of the message saying, God, I messed up again. And I understand, please, I'm not trying to teach sinless perfection. But I am trying to say that we got to get to some point to where our life is exemplary, where we can say, follow me. Isn't that what Paul said? Follow me. We got to get there. If we're ever going to have revival in America, all of us got to, not just the preacher. It's not just the preachers in the church. It's not just the Sunday school teachers or the deacons or the choir members or it's all of us. To where we say, look on us. And that when they look, they see the Savior. Amen. Isn't that what we're looking for? They see Jesus. Well, again, we're not anything. But man, when they look at Ray Dodson, they say, man, something's there. And listen, don't we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Amen? Don't we believe that? Huh? Now, we're not some kind of Asta Lashanaha, Kawasaki, Azuki, Yamaha, came on a Honda stuff. I'm not talking about that. Huh? I'm talking about being real as a Christian. I mean, this world needs somebody that's real. And they can look and say, man, there's that lady, everybody calls her Aunt Jenny. Runs a business down there. Just something about the way she handles herself, something different. She's not out there trying to cheat everybody yet. Just something different. Something real. I mean, am I telling the truth? We're going to have revival. Isn't that how it's going to be? Our families are going to have to be real. Let's be honest, man. I have to be honest. Sometimes I'm glad God never gave Miss Debbie and I any kids. Now, please don't be offended, but I've watched some of them. I don't want any of them. And I watch others, and man, they're sharp. I look around tonight, Brother Chad's family, Brother Derek. I look at those kids. Man, I thank God for you guys. I do. You listen to me. To me, see, that's a part of my life. I spent years with y'all. I've invested in y'all. And now to see your families, whoever thought that Tammy Bryan would have a family like that? Honest, I could tell stories on all of them. I better not. It might affect the love offering, but I could tell stories that, and if y'all see me after service, we'll talk about some of those, amen. But I look, man, I mean some good-looking kids. Now, they're not perfect, amen?
Amen.
Would be the youth pastor say something like that, wouldn't it? But you can look at them, they look sharp. You can tell there's something different about mom and dad because them kids. They're real. Is Kelly and Chad perfect? Derek and Irene perfect? No. But they got this, they're real. Here we are. I left South Fort Worth in 2000, so 13 years ago, and now here y'all got families, and man, still faithful. That y'all have no idea what that does in here to me and Miss Debbie. That it wasn't in vain. Wasn't in vain. They said, look on us. They gave heed to them. And I'm telling you, the lost crowd will listen. Now, let's be honest. All of them aren't going to listen all the time. Everybody that you talk to is not going to listen. Everybody you talk to is not going to get saved. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do a work. Amen. I'm not one of these, pray this prayer and you're saved. It takes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And unless he does a work, unless there's some repentance involved, there ain't nobody going to get saved. I don't care how many prayers you pray. But they will give heed. And this is the thing. They will expect to receive something. They will. Now, I'm... let me help you. Look in verse 6 there, Acts 3, 6. Then Peter said... Now, he's talking to the fellow that's got his sign out there on the corner of the freeway saying, please help. This is what he told them. Silver and gold have I none. Money ain't the answer to them folks' problem. Quit giving them money. That ain't going to help them. Well, listen, if anybody knows that, it's your pastor. After spending the years in the rescue mission that he did, money is not the answer to what they need. In fact, most of the time, they get a handful of money and it's going to hurt them more than it is help them. And we got a clear answer from God right here that money ain't the issue. If money would have helped this guy, I believe I know Peter well enough, he'd have emptied his pockets. He said, whatever you need, man. And if he didn't have anything, he'd have prayed some down. God, this guy's got to have money. It's the only thing that's going to help him. And God, if you just give him some silver and gold. But that is not what he did at all. It's not what he did. Some of y'all, you got family that they constantly got their hand out. That is not the answer to their problem, and you know it. Well, they get mad at me if I don't give them anything. Well, they're going to get mad at you for something, so let it be that. You quit going broke. Amen. You're just wasting your money. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to help you. God gave you a family to spend your money on. Got the work of God here to spend money on. Hey, you ought to learn to invest in this place. Not just give you tithes, but invest by giving offerings. Invest by giving to missions. Invest in one another. How many of y'all have needs from time to time above what you make? Everybody, how about you just slip some brother or sister a little money every once in a while? Huh? Oh, my land. Silver and gold have I none. Huh? What? Doesn't that make more sense? To invest in somebody that's trying to do right and live right, amen? We're going to spend money on somebody. Let's spend money on somebody that's worth it. I don't mean them folks aren't worth it, but I do mean that I believe it's a better investment to invest in the people of God than to invest in another bottle of booze or another joint or another pack of cigarettes. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Waste God's money. Every one of you know this is the truth. You find yourself short of money far too often. It's because you're wasting it. Hi there. You wasting it. Some of you, let me go on. Brother Brian said, Brother Bob said the battery only lasts 35 minutes, and I'm coming up on a deadline. And I ain't even started preaching yet. Brother Brian said, y'all get out at 6:30, we're in trouble. All right, let me give you, I got 3 points, a poem, and 2 tear-jerking illustrations. Here we go, you ready? What all they expect from us? Number one, the gospel story. You want to help somebody, you give them the gospel story.
That's right.
Hey, that's something that'll change them forever. Hey, Peter and John's walking in there and they tell it, look on us, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And look at what name he brings up. In the name of Jesus. That'll almost make you charismatic, won't it? In the name of Jesus. We get scared of that sometimes. Amen. Let's be honest. We get scared of that. It's fundamental independent Baptist. We get scared. Well, in the name of Jesus. We hear that all the time. We think, man, them nutty people. Don't let them people scare us off. Amen. Hey, he's our Jesus. We know the truth about him tonight. Amen. Hey, he's still in the healing business. He's still in the prosperity business. I'm not talking about giving you money. I'm talking about giving you a family that are left for God.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Talking about a God that's interested in this fella.
That's right.
Even though he's redheaded.
Yeah.
Huh?
Even though.
Yeah. Son, they have died. Don't tell him, Matt. Don't use that stuff. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Now, listen. He told him the most important thing he'd tell him. Look over there in chapter 4 and verse 12. Look at it. Acts chapter 4. Huh? Y'all already know the verse. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
He said, what I have is Jesus. That's the most important. Listen, the most important thing that you and I can give them, they do not need money. They don't need shelter. They don't need clothes. They don't need food. And they say, well, if we give them those things, they'll listen. No, if you give them Jesus, they'll get saved and he'll take care of all the rest of it. We've been listening to the world's philosophy too long. What they need is Jesus.
That's right.
And hey, didn't he change you? When he finally got a hold of your heart, didn't he change you? And I can't stand it. Y'all forgive me. We got to the hotel last night, and I looked in the closet, and I did not have a white shirt. I didn't bring a dress shirt, isn't that all? I had to get up and go to the mall last night and buy a shirt. Now the sleeves are too long. I got a fat neck. Say amen right there, Brother Brian. Brother Russell, you know what I'm talking about.
Chicken neck.
This ain't chicken neck. That's the biggest chicken neck I wear a size 20 neck. And they don't sell them down at Sears. And I'm about to choke. Now, listen. If we'll tell them about Jesus, then it'll change their lives.
Yes, sir.
And they have the right to expect to hear that from us. Listen, you know what we've done? We get intimidated about telling about Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
We get nervous. We get scared. They're expecting it. They say, they're a Christian. And because they're a Christian, I know what they're going to tell me. Well, then tell them. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be scared of it. Just go ahead and tell them. They're already expecting it. They know you're a Christian. You've already stood up and told them. They got their little magnifying glass out and they're watching you. Amen. Isn't that what they do? They're watching you, especially if it's family or something. You make a little uh-oh. They own you, man, like yellow on corn. And they, oh, I saw what you did. And you claim to be a Christian. Oh, shut up. And just go on. They're expecting you to tell them about Jesus. Just tell them. That's what's going to help them the most, and every one of us knows that's the truth. Thank you, Junior. That's what's going to help them the most. Man, how else are they going to get saved? How'd you get saved? Man, I was so ungodly. I remember, I worked with two preachers. I was working in a steel mill, a Jasper Beatty, and a young man is an assembly of God. His name was Richard. I don't remember his last name. But those two fellas, I mean, every time I turn around, they're telling somebody about Jesus. In the morning, I got saved, September 14th, 1981, 6:30 in the morning. I was due at work that morning at 8 o'clock. I got saved. I got up. I got dressed. I went down to the job, and I found Richard. He is working graveyards that night. And I walked in the little office. He's sitting there. And I said, Richard, guess what happened to me this morning? He looks at me. I said, I got saved.
Yep.
You know what he did? He looked at me and he said, anybody but you.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm serious. That's what he said. Anybody but you. And I apologized to him. See, I'd mocked that guy. I'd made fun of him. But every time I turned around, I remember he had one guy, we called him Muscles, big old black guy I worked with. They called him Muscles for a reason. I mean, that guy's arms was like this. Several times I see Richard got his New Testament. He's got Muscles hidden up in the corner. He's got his New Testament out doing like this. And Muscle got tears just rolling down his face. Huh. I had to apologize to that guy that morning. Man, it was good. I enjoyed it. Then I found old Jasper Beatty. Everybody made fun of Jasper. You got a name like Jasper, you deserve to be made fun of. Amen. Jasper. I found him. I said, hey, Jasper, guess what happened this morning? He said, what? I said, I got saved. Man, he just started shouting. He did. He just, hallelujah, he said. Man, that's great. I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I apologized to Jasper. I'd mocked him. I'd cursed him. There's another preacher, Brother Ken Garrett. He is the bus director at Trinity Baptist Church. I'd grown up in that church, quit going when I was 16 years old. I remember him coming to my apartment one night. Lived on second floor. Man, it's storming outside. I was sick. I had the flu. I was laying there with a fever. And I went to the door, and it was Ken Garrett. I knew what he was doing. I knew what I could expect to hear from him.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir.
He said, what are you doing, Scotty? I said, I'm sick. I was mean, man. I, I just look at him, I'm sick. I didn't want to hear it. He said, you know why I came by? I said, I know. He looked at me, my God-given eyeball. He said, don't let your ignorance keep you from going to heaven, son. And he turned around, walked down them stairs. Man, I want to go over and kick him, you know. God wouldn't let me. I didn't know it was God, but I wanted to kick him down them stairs. Don't let your ignorance keep you from going to heaven, he said. Walked off. That stuck, Brother Brian. Say, he's too rough. No, he wasn't. Sometimes it takes that to break through the old hard shell of a lost heart. Brother Ken loved me. When I got saved, Brother Ken took me under his wing. I'll never forget, I got laid off from the steel mill. Brother Ken came up, he said, that's great. What do you mean that's great? He said, bus meeting Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, you be there. He said, we need some bus captains. I said, what's a bus captain? He said, don't worry about it. So I showed up Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. He said, hey, it's good to have Scott Netterville here with us this morning. He's a new bus captain. He said, it's the truth. Now, I'm not, this isn't preaching. I'm telling the truth. He sent me out that morning with his two daughters and said, they'll show you what to do. Two little old teenage girls, preteen girls. They'll show you what to do. And took me out and showed me how to knock doors and invite kids to come to Sunday school. It's a Southern Baptist church, but man, they had a good bus ministry. They was bringing in 500 kids every week on buses. It's a shame that bus sitting back there, Brother Brian. Shame you have to beg for a van driver. Somebody ought to be begging you to want to help. Amen, amen, and amen. Meddling now, but it's the truth. They took me out there, and it wasn't long, just a few weeks. Man, I was thrilled about what I was doing. We was bringing them boys and girls into Sunday school and church. I found myself out there in them apartments, 10 o'clock at night, Brother Brian, I'm still out there knocking doors. Hey, you got a boy and girl want to go to Sunday school tomorrow? People would look at me, do you know what time it is? Yeah, y'all still up partying. Built us a bus route. I stayed in that church for about a year and a half, Brother Brian. Brother Mike Minner, you know, some of y'all know Brother Mike. First time I ever came to South Fort Worth Baptist Temple, I was with Brother Minner. Brother Minner was going to Tennessee Temple at that time. No, he had just left there. He'd gone to Texas Baptist College. But he came home. We were out of the same home church. He came home, and his visitation night, and I was there, and Brother Mike came up me. He said, who you going with tonight? I said, Ricky Mitchell. We're going out on our bus route. He said, can I go with y'all? I said, sure. So we went out on bus route, went to some apartments over there. Miss Debbie, you know where it is on Harris and Maine over there. Old South Plantation Apartments. Brother Mike said, you go first. Man, I knocked on that door. And people came to the door and I said, hi, I'm Scott Netterville from Trinity Baptist Church. I said, I'd sure like to know if you got any kids that'd like to ride our bus on Sunday, go to church with us. No, they didn't have anybody. All right, thank you, you know. He tells Ricky, he said, you knock on the next door. Ricky knocks on the next door. Ricky gives the same spiel. Ask him if they got anybody that'd like to come to church or invited them, you know. No. Brother Mike said, my turn. He knocked on the door. A man from India came to the door. Brother Mike said, I'm Mike Minner from Trinity Baptist Church. He said, you folks go to church anywhere? The man said, no. He said, we just moved over here. And he said, we don't go to church and never have gone to church. And Brother Mike asked him, he said, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? The man said, no. He said, could I take a minute of your time and show you how you can know that for sure? The man said, sure, why don't y'all come in? We go inside, we sit down on the man's couch. He calls his wife. Come in here. Wife sits down. I hear kids in the back. I'm sitting there going, what are you doing, man? He takes his New Testament out. Brother Mike starts showing this man how he can go to heaven. And before I know it, that man's over there, got his head bowed, eyes closed, him and his wife both, Brother Ray, and they're going, dear Jesus. I'm stunned. We walked out of that apartment. I said, how'd you do that? Man, nobody had ever taught me that. I'd been going out on visitation, and nobody had ever taught me how to take a Bible and show somebody how to be saved. And I was amazed. You know what I told Brother Mike? You got to teach me that. He said, man, if you'll come up there to college where I go, he said, we'll teach you. It wasn't just a few months later I was up there learning how to take a Bible and show somebody how to be saved. Hey, they have the right to expect that of us. And they will give heed. Let me go on quickly. Number two, they have the right to expect from us compassion. Hey, turn if you would to Jude, verse 22. Y'all know the verse, not a new verse to you. Just making a little application with the Bible. Isn't that what we're supposed to do tonight? Jude, look down if you would. Verse 21 and verse 22. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal life, and of some have compassion. Look at this. Look at this. Making a difference. Man, you want to make a difference? Learn to have compassion. Get over that old hard, fundamental Baptist heart that we got. Amen. Huh? How many times have we got out there, boy, their haircut ain't right. I mean, if she'd just dress right, and if, huh?
Amen, brother.
Now, honest, we really don't intend to do that. But sometimes right here, that's what we do. And they look at us and think, man, I don't care nothing about what you got. Why don't we remember where we came from? Have a little compassion on somebody. You remember them hard years you went through when you were so rebellious, so hard-hearted, wouldn't listen to nobody. Have a little tender heart and a little compassion. You listen to me, that'll make a difference. It'll make a... Hey, don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want to make a difference? We all agreed earlier, we need revival in our nation. It's going to take somebody to have some compassion and say they do not understand. Hey, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Let's have some compassion. He doesn't understand it all. He's blind. He's got scales on his eyes. He can't see unless God gets a hold of his heart. Let's have some compassion. Let's make a difference. They have the right to expect that from us. Man, don't you remember what God did in your heart that day? I can still remember, Brother Brian, that morning, September the 14th, 1981. Now, listen, I'm not crazy. I'm not a charismatic or something like that. But I'd had a dream that night. And it was my vision of what Jesus looked like. Wasn't a scriptural vision, Brother Brian. It just, but God used it. And he was standing there telling me, you don't get saved. You're going to hell. And it's the last chance you got. Man, I woke up crying. I knew, man, Mama and Daddy had prayed for me. They had taken me down to the house of God. I knew what was right. Man, I bailed out of that bed that morning. I got up beside my bed. I have no idea what I said. I remember picking up the phone. I knew where my dad was that morning. Thank God for a godly dad. I knew my dad was sitting at the counter at his house reading his Bible. And I got on that phone. I said, Dad, man, I'm blubbering like a baby. He thought somebody broke in my apartment, beat me up. Really, that's what he thought. I was just sorry, ornery, hot-tempered. I said, Daddy, I need to get saved. Would you pray with me? He said, what? I said, would you pray with me? I want to get saved. He said, yeah. And I don't know what we prayed, but I know Jesus changed me that morning. He broke through that old hard heart, that old rebellion. Man, he broke through all of that vile filth that was part of my life. Convicted my heart that morning. Man, there on my knees on that telephone, I'm praying and asking Christ to come into my heart. I remember I did. I went to work that day. I not only talked to Jasper and Richard, and there was guys I worked with I'd been dealing drugs to. And I started telling them that morning, man, I got saved. I was ignorant. I thought they'd be happy. I did. I thought they'd be happy for me. One said, man, he said, what'd you do this weekend? He asked what kind of drugs I did, Brother Ray, because he knew I was messed up. He said, you'll be all right. Another one looked at me and he said, you'll be back. I told him, ain't nothing come back to. I started telling them fellas that morning. I got saved. Started telling them about Jesus. You know why? Because I looked at them boys. I'd run the streets with them. I knew what they thought. I knew what was in their heart. It's the same thing that's in mine. And somebody better have some compassion on them if they's going to ever see the truth of Jesus. And if they's ever going to get saved, somebody is going to have to have some compassion and say, I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care what you smell like. I'm telling you, there's a Jesus, a Savior out there that, hey, He can heal the lame. He can raise the dead. I'm telling you, He can make you new if you just let Him do it. Just have some compassion. Compassion on the drunk and compassion on the drug addict. Compassion on the harlot and compassion on the whoremonger. Compassion on the gambler and compassion on the prideful. Compassion on the selfish. Compassion on those that think they don't need anybody. Amen. Some compassion on the rich and some compassion on the poor. Some compassion on the abused. Some compassion on those that are sick. Compassion on those that are needy. Some compassion on the diseased, whether it's mental or emotional. Compassion on the broke. Compassion on the broken. Compassion on the liar. Compassion on the thief. Compassion on the elite. I mean, we ought to just have compassion. Even if they're nobody, we ought to have some compassion. Just kind of put them in your place. Or put you in their place. Let me run on. Something else they ought to expect from us is peace. Let's look real quick. Couple of verses. John chapter 14. Run over there. It's nothing new now. I'm trying to hurry. How many of y'all are off tomorrow? It's Memorial Day. Anybody off tomorrow? How many of y'all got to work? All right, we'll get you to work in the morning, Junior. All right. I like it, though. He raised his hand for everything. Amen. I like that. He'd drive the van if you'd let him. John chapter 14, look down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all got that tonight? Let's see. Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed if you have the Holy Spirit of God. Let's see your hand. All right. Now, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Here we go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You listen to me, there is not a person out there not looking for peace. And we got it. Now, let me just run down a trail with us here for a minute. He says, peace I live with you. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. How come there's so much fussing and fighting down at your house? Could you help me out right there? Is it maybe because the Holy Spirit of God's not in control down there like he ought to be? I just read it right there. He just said, I'm going to give you the Comforter. I'm leaving you my peace. Same thing. And that, amen or not? Is that? We got the Holy Spirit of God. We got God's peace. How come you fuss and fight so much? You kids, look at me. You know how ungodly it is for you brothers and sisters to fight down at the house? You realize how ungodly that is? That's wicked. You tell mom and daddy, oh, I got saved. I won't live for Jesus. And then they do some little something. And you can't help it. Mom, Dad, do you know what they say? They're looking at me. Huh? Anybody ever heard that? Any parents ever? They're looking at me. Huh? What's wrong with you guys? Aren't you saved, man? Huh? Don't be ashamed of it. Aren't you saved? What are you doing fighting down there? How are you going to tell the world about Jesus and about his peace? That's what they need. They need somebody's got some peace in his life, man. What are you doing fighting? What's wrong with you guys? He got my baseball glove. Huh? I'm barking up the right tree. Huh? Man, they looking for something real, Brother Brian. I'm talking about them kids you go to school with. You think your sister really thinks you saved and you constantly fighting with her? I mean, just picking fights. Find something stupid to fight over. And it brings the whole house into an uproar. Now Dad's mad. When he gets mad, buddy, it's on. Amen? Ain't that right? Don't you like it when Dad gets mad? No, sir. Uh-uh. Get Mom mad, buddy, that's a mistake. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been there. Huh? How many of you husbands and wife? I don't know about you. I don't like fighting with Miss Debbie. Amen. First place, she wins too much. That's right. I don't know how that happens. I know what it is for real. See, I want to have peace, and so I just say, okay, honey, you're right, you're right. But don't y'all want peace, Miss Kelly? Amen? Isn't that, amen, Miss Irene? Miss Sharon, isn't that, want peace? Ain't none of us like fighting. And we know that, man, if we was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't have all that fussing and fighting. And it's hard to pass on what you ain't got. Some of you ladies, maybe you praying for your husband. Maybe some husbands praying for a wife. You better cut that fussing out. You ain't going to get nowhere with them. Why are they going to listen to you? Peace. Man, wouldn't it be great, guys, get home from work and walk in and all the kids, hi, Dad. I mean, almost like, you know, Ward Cleaver walking in. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all don't know who Leave It to Beaver is, do you? I'm telling off on myself, aren't I? I don't know the modern day kids. You come in and, man, everything's peaceful. Huh? Kids not fighting, screaming back and forth. Man, wouldn't that be great? Huh? Mom, wouldn't you like that? Just an afternoon of quiet. Wow! Miracle. Yeah, you're getting the point. Peace. They're looking for it. They have the right to expect it. We said we're Christians. We said we had the Holy Spirit of God. Where's our peace? Financial problems come along. Physical, medical problems come along. Man, you can have peace. You can. The Holy Spirit of God will give peace. There's not anybody in here tonight doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. From the kids on up, every one of us know. Man, there's times that the fight's on. Man, don't give somebody in the house a gun on that day because they're going to kill somebody. Huh? Peace. Let me get on. You say, I don't have peace. No wonder they don't want what you got. Let's be honest. A life without peace is miserable. Amen? Man, it's full of toil and strife and pain and excess. Look, real quick, Romans chapter 14. Run over there. I'm just want to give you a scripture because I believe we ought to back it up. Romans chapter 14, start down there at verse 17. Well, let's just verse 19. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Let's back up to verse 17:18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. We preach right there for a little while, amen, to those of us that are tied up in meat and drink. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey, they have the right to expect for us to be a joyful people. Why you got that old sourpuss attitude you got? Hey, we're just preaching, amen? Just trying to get some help, amen? Because there's a world out there that needs us, that unless we get our lives straightened out, man, we're headed down an awful road. Our nation expects for Christians to be full of joy. Man, sometimes you can see it. brother, they walk into the house of God, and I mean, their face is all just twisted, and you can see the mad all over them. They've been fighting all the way to church, and they try to put on a face when they walk in the back door on time. I've pastored too, I know. Man, there ain't no joy. We're just mad all the time. You ever notice that the slightest little thing just sets you off? Thank you. Anybody ever know? Don't raise your hand, but you ever notice that slightest little thing just sets you off? Can I tell you, you got some anger built up down here. You need to get to searching and asking God what's wrong. I'm telling you the truth. The reason you're like that, you got some anger pent up down here. And you need to go to God and say, God, what's the problem? Sometimes we get mad at God. Let's be honest, we ain't going to tell Him we're mad at Him. By the way, He already knows it anyway. You might as well tell Him. But things didn't work out the way you want them to, and you get mad. Or maybe the husband didn't do things just the way you wanted. Well, I've been there. Huh? Hey, can I help y'all tonight? I ain't Miss Debbie. I don't do things the way Miss Debbie does. And she... I'll be honest with you, she expects me to do them her way. I ain't doing it her way. I'm doing it my way. And she get mad at me. Then I get mad at her. On we go. What? Now we're both mad. And ain't nobody happy. I don't like it, Brother Ray. I know you and Kim aren't ever like that, but... Huh? Can I help you right here? Hey, quit expecting Him to do the things the way you do it and quit expecting her to do things the way she does. But would you just let them be the self? Huh? Now, let's be honest. We all need to change some. And there's times it's legitimate that Miss Debbie's upset with me because I didn't do something she asked me to do. Just being honest. You fellas know I'm telling the truth. Wives, you know you've gotten upset with him before because he didn't do it just when you told him to do it and the way you told him to do it. He didn't get her done and now you're upset. Why don't you quit that? Get rid of that old anger out your heart, man. Ask God to forgive you. That old bad attitude you got. Huh? Some of you kids, I'm serious. You got such a bad attitude when mom says no immediately. Immediately. Well, why? Well, you better be glad you're not mine. I'll knock a knot on your head so hard. Why? Well, first, because they're trying to protect you, and maybe they know something you don't know. You ever thought about that? Maybe there's something else that they know that, hey, can I be honest with you tonight? There's kids in this church that you don't want your kids hanging out with. And sometimes, though both of them may be saved, they're bad for one another. Yeah. They cause problems. I mean, separate, they're all right, but you let them two get together, and now we got trouble. And maybe mom and dad's trying to keep you from that. You ever thought that they know more than you? Isn't that amazing? Mom and Dad know more than you. You know what? Aunt Jenny knows more than you and I do, Brother Brian. Now, I don't mean this unkind. She's been around. She knows. Hey, do you realize yet? There's some wisdom that comes with age. There it. It ain't that bad, man. Good night. I'll move on. Joy. How many of y'all like having joy? Huh? All right. 2 Timothy 2. Hurry up. I'm through. 2 Timothy 2. Are we getting some help? All right. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hey, they have the right to expect righteousness of us. They have that right. They have the right to look and to expect you and I to live righteously. Listen, every one of us that are saved tonight, you know the things that you came out of, that God has helped you to overcome. Why do you want to go back and hug up with them things every once in a while? And don't you realize how hurtful they were? Man, they were destroying your life. And now the world looks, and we're tempted sometimes to kind of try to get along with the world. Can I help you right here? It ain't possible to live for God and get along with them. We try. But when you're going to live righteous, good night. There's family reunions you can't go to. There's family get-togethers I just cannot go to. I want to, but I can't go. I know what's going to happen. I remember last time I went to one. My cousins were out standing at the pickup truck, and as Miss Debbie and I walked out, you see them reaching down the pickup truck, you know. They all leaning on the bed. They reached down there, and I heard one of them say, "Here comes the preacher." So I walk up the truck, and I lean on the bed. Amen. Hey, how y'all doing? I just like tormenting them. Amen. Yeah. Just talk long enough for it to get hot, you know. See y'all later. Just torment them. But listen, they expect you to live righteous. There's folks down at the job, they intentionally are trying to antagonize you. You know that's the truth. They are saying things that they know is going to get under your skin. They do it on purpose. And listen, you think the devil's going to leave you alone now that you got saved? He ain't going to leave you alone. He's after you, man. He hates your guts. And if he can ruin your testimony, he'll do it. And let's be honest. We give him far too many opportunities to ruin our testimony. Man, we need to learn. We can't go everywhere that the world goes. We can't do everything they do. And let's be honest, down here, we don't want to. Sure, sometimes our old flesh gets a hold of us and we find ourselves maybe saying something or maybe watching something, doing something that we should. But man, let's get it right and let's get back to living for the Lord. Amen. Let's not dwell over there in that junk. But they have the right to expect of us righteousness. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Let me finish. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let me just read it. You don't need to turn there. Verse 6. It's what it says. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. They have the right to expect us to change. They have the right to expect us to be another man. Man, you listen. Won't we let God turn us into someone different than what we are? Won't we let God turn us into something? I'll go back and say, we got a nation that's in trouble. And we need some people that are real. That's going to have some compassion. That's going to have some peace and some joy. Their life's going to be different. It's the only way we're going to have revival. And it's going to take a church like this. They'll say, man, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want my kids to make a difference. I want them, when they come down to my church, I want them to see, man, the kids getting along and joy and peace. And I want them to see some people that are real, lives being changed. All of us realize, not everybody's in the same place spiritually tonight. Amen? Can we learn to allow for that? And I'd be crazy to expect somebody just got saved to be in the same place that the preacher is tonight. He's not able yet. But this, they've got to see some change. They have the right to expect it. To look and say, man, they're different from what they used to be. You say, well, I've been saved a long time. Yeah, you still all been changing. You ain't arrived yet. We still got a long ways to go. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I've found myself, Brother Brian, backing up sometimes to some of them stupid, silly sins that I did when I was first got saved. And I look, now, what am I doing here? What in the world am I doing here? Let's be honest. No, I won't do this. It's gotten to where most Christians today have cable TV. You can't hardly get away from all that stuff today. I mean, you don't have to have it, but I'm at the Sword Conference, them national preachers up there talking about watching swamp people. Well, you got to have cable TV to watch swamp people. Huh? How many of y'all know what swamp people is? See, I told y'all had cable. I knew it. And if you're not careful, that stupid one-eyed, I'll drag you back because you had that stupid thing in your hand, fella. Say amen, ladies. I'm trying to help you here because they're the one that run that thing. And now you done stopped somewhere you shouldn't have. And saw something you shouldn't have. Listen, Brother Sam Davidson not long ago, he was talking about how the biggest thing that he did fight when he was there in Oklahoma City at the Bible College at Heartland was young preachers and pornography. I'm telling you, it's rampant with preachers today. It's sad. No wonder we're not having revival. No, man, we watch soap operas and think that that's real life. And by the way, soap operas aren't just in the middle of the day. They're on at prime time too. We sit there and listen to them cuss at us. And man, if we talk like that or one of the kids talk like that, good night. But we let them talk like that. We let them, the commercials so vile and ungodly. And we just sit there and watch them. And we've just gotten hardened to it. How are we going to have revival like that? Well, I can't give up my cable. I know. But we got to do something. We got to change. I'm saying, Miss Debbie, we're sitting there. It's normally my habit. I'm going to sit where the preacher is. I'm going to sit maybe second or third row. And we're sitting there. And that evangelist sitting down there. And the preaching's going on. And Miss Debbie's poking me. And the evangelist down there tweeting. My heart's sunk. Does he not think he needs preaching? We need change. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in all this stuff in the world. And many of us, if we was honest, we'd admit, man, it's got us captive. We couldn't shut off the cable if we wanted to. There'd be such a riot down at the house. Good night. Somebody would lose their life. I ain't trying to shut mine off. But every one of us know we need to. I'm tired of captivity, aren't you? I want to change. I believe if we'll begin to change again, we'll see revival. And we can get a hold of some hearts out there that are expecting something from us. Look on us. And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. Let's stand there, feet. I apologize for the hour. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you this evening.